Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in the penultimate shir of this very challenging Perek Chamishi. We are at the Mishnah in Ezu Neshech, the Mishnah in Ayin Bet Amud Bet. Ein poskin al haperot ad sheyitzei hashar. This is something we've already seen referenced earlier in the Perek. You may not set a price for fruit in advance until the market value has been established. Yatzah hashar poskin. You may set the amount once the you may make a deal once the market value has been set. Albisha in lezeh, even though the seller doesn't have it, yesh lezeh, someone else has it. Hayahu tchilah lekotzim. Let's say you were the first of the harvesters, and the market price hadn't been set. Posekim ala gadish, you can set a price for the gadish that you already have, the pile of wheat. V'yala avit shel anavim, or for the basket of grapes. V'yala ma'atan shel zeitim, or the basket of olives. V'abitzim shel yotzer, these are not eggs, but these are little pieces of plaster that are used in artisan work. V'yala sid mishishka'o b'kivshan, or plaster once it's already been put into the oven to melt. You can make a deal on dung any time of the year. You cannot make such a deal unless you actually have some in the dung pile. We'll see what the difference between Chachamim and Tanakam is. You're allowed to use the high market value, which means high market value is kind of opposite of what we instinctively read it as. It means that you get more for dollar. What you could do is that when it comes time to buy it, you can, the buyer can say, give it to me at that rate, or give me my money back. Alright, so now let's see how this develops. First of all, exactly what our Mishnah says. Does Rabbi Yochanan even apply it to a dormos? A dormos is clearly a Greek word, and actually means originally something like an amphitheater or a place where there were races run, but then it ended up meaning to the plaza, meaning when there's a big market and there's stuff coming in all the time. You can't do it. No, Rabbi Yochanan said that he was referring to the small towns and the markets, but the lokvi tarayu, they don't have a set shar because they wait to hear. They'll set a sort of tentative value, and they wait to hear what the big markets are bearing, and then they'll change the value. So that's why you can't do it. Again, the whole problem is anchored in ribit. But originally we thought that Rabbi Yochanan applied it even to a dormos, even to a big marketplace. But our Mishnah that said that you can't set the make a deal until the price has been set, but once the price has been set, you can do it. So then what case would he be talking about? He would then interpret, as we don't have to do this, but he would then interpret that the Mishnah is referring to wheat that comes from huge granaries where there's lots there and they can set the shar, and the shar is quite yatsiv, it's quite stable, and there's no concern that it's going to change. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, en poskin al perot ad sheyitzei hashar, like we had in our Mishnah, yatzah hashar poskin, it's exactly our Mishnah, al pisha ein lezeh yesh lezeh, up until now it's exactly the Mishnah. And then the Braita continues, hayu chadashot mi'arba vishanot mishalosh. Let's say that this year's grain was going for four seah per sela, and yishanot mishalosh, the older ones, which are more valuable, you'd only get three for a coin. Ein poskina chitzei ashar l'chadash v'lei ashan. You have to wait until both of the market value prices for both old and new are set. Hayu l'kotot mi'arba. L'kotot means there would be guys who'd go around and collect from different fields and put a big mix together, and it wasn't such good grain. And so that was four. But a regular guy selling from his own field was three. This is worth more. Again, we have to wait until both market rates come out, locate and mocher. So Amar Rav Nachman commenting on this braita, poskin lekotot kashar lekotot. If there is a market value for the lekotot, then you can make a deal with them. And you don't have to wait until the shar for the mocher comes out. Amalei Rav Lo Rav Nachman, so a student asked him, Maishna locate the e late le yazif milakot chavreim. So why do you say that a locate Because the whole problem is I'm buying something from you and you don't currently have it, which turns it into a loan. And then the fact that I'm getting it at a better rate because I paid you up front then turns it into rebate. That's the problem. But why do we say that, why are you, Rav Nachman, saying that if the particular locate doesn't have stuff, it's still okay as long as there's a locate rate out there in the market? Because you're thinking, because he can go and borrow from another lakot who has collected from fields to pay it out, to bring the merchandise. So I could also buy it from a balabayit, from a regular guy selling his own stuff, and he could also get it from a lakot if he doesn't have. Marle balabayit zila bemil to the maze of milakot. A regular homeowner, it's below him to get it from one of these team. The other possibility is Mandi Yaib Zuz of the Balabayit, Apira Shapira Yaib. The other thing is when I'm paying a Balabayit, I'm not paying for the collected stuff. I'm paying for the single field finer stuff, and therefore the Balabayit can't go get it from a locate because it's not going to be the merchandise that I bought. You cannot borrow against the Shar Shabashuk, against the market value. Somebody asked Rav Shesha, to me I'm Rav Huna Hachi, since when did Rav Huna say? What Rav Shesha quoted him as saying is, Ein Lovin Al Shar Shabashuk. They asked Rav Huna the following question. Hani Vneve Rav Yazvi Batishrei Upari Batevet. So the students who would borrow money in Tishrei and pay it back in the winter. After all, in the cities of Hini and Shile, which we've heard already of before and had very cheap goods, you could already get wheat in the fall. So if they wanted to, they could go and buy that stuff and then pay back the loan. So that means that Lovin al Shar Shabashuk. So Mikara sa Rav Huna in Lovin. Originally Rav Huna thought you cannot borrow against the Shar Shabashuk because then it's going to be rebate. Kevan Deshama Lahada Amar of Shmuel Barchia Amar Rabbi Lazar, when he quoted Rabbi Lazar saying Lovin Amar Hiun Ami Lovin. In other words, there were two positions there. Rav Huna originally took the severe position in Ein Lovin, and then when he heard that Rabbi Lazar publicized the psak that Lovin al Shar Shabashuk, then he said you may, and then he came up with the reasoning, which is that you could always buy stuff in another city at the time and pay your debt back, and therefore it's not purely rebate. Tanu Rabbanan, Hamolich Chavilam Makom L'Makom. Let's say you're carrying a bundle of things to sell from one place to another, and we assume now you're carrying it from a place where it's less, it's going to get less money, to a place where you're going to get more money. Metzao Chaver Over Marlo. So another guy met you and said, Tana Liv Ani Ala Lacha Kederach Shmalin Lacha Boto Makom. Give me the stuff, and I'll pay you right now what you would have gotten in that other place. So now, you see that there may be a rebate problem here because you're collecting more than you took. Birshut mocher mutar. If you're carrying it on behalf of the seller and it's the seller's responsibility if something happens here, then mutar, because essentially the deal is happening now. Birshut lokeach, if on the other hand, it is not the seller's liability, but it's going to be the buyer's liability if something happens here, then asur, because essentially now there is a loan happening between the guy who's getting it from you and the buyer. Hamolich perot mal makom makom. Now, let's say it's on a chavila, but you're actually taking fruit from one place to another. And now this guy who meets you doesn't say, I'll pay you what they're going to pay you there, but rather says, give the fruit to me, and I'll give you perot that I have in that place. So like we saw earlier with commerce, if he actually has fruit right now in that place, it's mutar. But if not, then it's essentially a loan. It's asur. The chamarim, meaning donkey drivers who go from place to place, can set a price in a place where it's more expensive, just like it's not just like in the cheaper place, which means, by the way, they're going to be underselling. So my time, our papa, our nechalu de megalu tara, because even though they sell low, they're happy to get the marketplace open, literally meaning to start the selling, and that opens people up, and they end up making more money. It's like a loss leader. Racha braid rav ika amar nechalu de mosli gabayu. He's happy that they actually see them as selling low because then they're going to get more customers. So my binai, what's the nafkamina? Can I talk about chadata? If you have a new seller, meaning a guy who doesn't have a reputation, so on the one hand, it does open up the market to him. On the other hand, it does not garner his reputation as being somebody who sells low because they don't know him yet. Now, Basura Azli Arba Arba. Here we hear a story. And from here on, we're going to hear lots of different stories about the Chachamim. In Sura, which is Rav's town, they used to sell wheat, let's say, for four sa'in for a sella. But Kafri, in the villages out there, Aslan Shita Shita, you'd get six for a sella, right? You get a third, you get half as much, more. Yaiv Rav Zuze L'chamari. So Rav would pay the donkey drivers. Kalei Unsa de Orchan. He would accept upon himself that if something happens to the stuff on the way, he'll absorb the loss, they won't. V'shaku minayu chamisha, and he would take five from them. So in other words, he would give them a zuz, sella. They would go to the villages, they would get six, and they'd come back, or six per zuz, come back, and he would take five of them. V'nishkol shita, why didn't he take all six? After all, since he accepted the liability for the road, as we saw earlier, therefore, really, it's all within, he should be able to get the entire amount. The answer is Adon Chashuv Shani, because he's an important man, he wants to avoid any sort of appearance of rebate, and therefore he would only take five. Bar Mine Rabbi Asim Rabbi Yochanan, so it's like the one is their payment. He asked him, "Ma'olasot piguta otken? Can you do the same thing with other sort of commerce, with other commodities?" Amalei, be careful, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosi, asotken b'chlei pishtan, v'linicho Rabbi. So Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosi, and Rabbi were chaverim. So one of them did this to the other. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosi wanted to do this with linen, with flax garments, and Rabbi didn't let him. He could amr because Rabbi doesn't put out ken v'lo nechor b'shvam Rabbi Yosi, or vice versa. One of them didn't let the other. In other words, we see that it's not appropriate to do that with other sort of pragmatia, but it is okay to do something with wheat, because wheat is something that's very common and easy to get in the other place. Now, pardesa, what about an orchard? Meaning buying an orchard in advance, all of the fruit of the orchard. Rav Asar Shmuel Shari, right? Machloket. Rav Asar, why? Came into the Kamei Shav Yitzvei, because since eventually it's going to be worth more, mitchazik aganata light. It looks like aganata. In other words, it looks like you're getting paid for this guy having your money for several months, because you're getting more. Shmuel Shari came into Havi Beit Tiua. Shmuel says, look, there could be a loss. There could be some downside in the orchard. It could be some dima or something. And as a result of that, it is not ribit. Because you're not simply giving him money to hold on to it, he's paying you more. Tori, there's big machloka about what this means. Tori in our version means shvarim. And does it mean when you get shvarim to raise, like cattle to raise or to take care of, or does it mean when you're using cattle to work through the vineyard in this orchard? Is it related to the original case, or is it like Hananel says, like that you're being asked to raise little calves and birthing ones? Take a look at the Tosfot there. He says he has a different gears than Tavri, that you're selling birthing mothers of calves, and some of them will miscarry. Either way, it all ends up being the same thing, because not in practice, but in what this places in the sugya, the nafis psidayu. The point is that since there's great loss or great potential for loss or high percentage of loss, either with miscarriages or with the grapes being stomped improperly, or it takes a lot of work to raise the cow, and it could be the cow dies, etc. However you want to play it, since there's a lot of loss there, Rav says that that's a mutar. In other words, as long as it's not a full gain. So now, people who would buy vines in advance, Shmuel told them, "Hafochu ba'ara, make a kinyan, go upturn the land." I mean, like plow a little bit with your hands or something. Why? Ki hecha dekani l'chu gufarar. So you have a kinyan in the land. Ve'ilo avilchu halva. If not, then the money that you're giving for the vines is like a halva, and then we're getting back as rebate, and then asur. The Rava lahanu de menatri bagi. So Rava said to people who directed people who would watch gardens and watch fields, poku hafochu bevedari. It's sort of the same thing. Go and work in the granary. When they bring the grain in, go work there a little bit. Help them, fork one amount into the granary. Ki hechi delo tishtalim schirut idchu ad dehayshata. Because if you're a sachir and you're working for them, then remember, ein de schirut edem shtalim tal masov. Schirut pays at the end of the period. That means they only owe you the payment for everything you do at the end of the period. And then whatever they give you, including they give you an extra gift. That's fine. But if not, then they owe it to you now, which means what they're not paying you now is a halva, And then when they pay you more at the end, it's a rebate problem. So it's like, do some work so that you change your status from watchman to worker. Amar Rabban and the Ravas. The student said to Rava, Ka'achel mar rebate. You're eating rebate. Nikoli Amar Shakli Arba Masalki Laris Benisan. Everybody else gets four from their aris for whatever, doesn't matter, and send him away in Nisan, meaning before the end of the harvest period. Mar natalu adiyar, you let him stay there till iyar, v'shakil shita, and you take more. So it's kind of like you're taking a rebeat, in other words, you're taking the extra for letting him sit on the field. So amalu atun ka vidun shelo kadin. No, you guys are doing wrong. Ara la aris mishtabi, the land belongs to the aris. He's got a claim on the land. And remember, harvest isn't over till after Nisan. The atun misalkitu lehu b'nisan, this must have been a barley field. If you get rid of him in Nisan, mafsitu lehu b'chama, you're making him lose some of his stuff. I'm letting him stay till ER, which means he gets more stuff. Remember, a sharecropper gets typically 33%, 25%, 33%, 50%, whatever it is of the yield. But that's only as long as he's on the field. If we get more stuff after he's gone, he doesn't get a cut of that. So by letting him stay longer, I'm giving him more of a chance, and really has a claim on the field until harvest season is over. Okay, another story of my Barachel. Mishkein lehahu nochri beita. So there was a non-Jew who borrowed money from Marmam Rachel, and he was mashkein a house to him. Hadar zabna l'Rava. Then the non-Jew sold the house to Rava. Rava was unaware of this, that it was under mashkon. Natar treisa yarche shata. Rava bought it as an investment, obviously, because he wasn't aware of what's going on. And Rabbi Mari Barachel waited 12 months. Shakal agar beita amti l'Rava. Then he brought rent, and he paid Rava the rent. And he explained himself, the reason I didn't bring you the rent until now, which by the way means that the sale probably happened right after the loan, it looks like. He says, because the default, as we saw earlier in the parak, the default of a mashkon is 1 year. If the guy had wanted to pay me his loan and get rid of me off the field, off the house, he couldn't do it. That's the rule. So therefore, for the first year, you really had no rights to claim rental for me. It was still his. It was still mine. As it were, but now I want you to accept my rental, my rent payment. Amrlei, Rava said, Yahavi Yadana Mushkan Le Lamar, had I known that this house was under Mashkon to you, Lavi Zavenala, I never would have bought it, and I feel bad about it. Hashtakinam Avdinallah. So if that's the case, let's use the Sasanian laws, not the Jewish laws, their laws. Call Ematul Masalki Bazuza Lo Shakil Agarbeta. And their laws, until he actually pays you the loan, you're not off, which means you don't owe me any rent. So I'm not going to pay rent until I take care of the loan, or until he does. And he didn't want to accept the money. So student of Ravashi said, Chazi mar rabbanan de ka'achli rebita. Again, complaining, the other students are eating rebita. Havu zuze acham rebitishrei. They're paying in the fall for wine, which isn't ready till the winter. Umevichari labatevet. And tevet, they come in the middle of winter, and they choose which barrels they want. What's the problem? They go and see which wine is stayed wine and which went to vinegar, and they pick the wine. When they paid money back there, they didn't pay it on a barrel, they paid it for wine. So therefore, mikar de chamra chamra, de chala chala. So therefore, we sort of retroactively see, whatever is wine today was wine then. That's the stuff they bought. It's sort of a brera thing. Hahishata hu de kamavchri, which means they actually chose it in Tishrei, but we just didn't know which barrel would be the one until they picked it in Tevet. Ravina Habayayiv Zuzah Levnei Akra de Shanvata. He would give money to these people in this town. V'shavchile Tfei Kufita. And he would pay them in advance for, let's say, wine. When he came to get the wine, they would put a little extra in. So, it's a rebid problem. Ata Lekame de Ravashi. So he came to Ravashi to see if that was okay. Amrle Mishari. Is this okay? Amrle In Achuli Hudakamachli Gabach. They're just mochel to you. In other words, you didn't make this part of the deal. They're mochel this extra wine to you. Amrle Ha'ara Lavdidhu. But the problem is, these guys are sitting on land that's not theirs. They're squatting on land. So Amarle, Ara Lataska Mashabda, why were they squatting on land? So Rashi explains that these were wealthy people who saw land that the owners had abandoned because they couldn't pay the property tax. And so they sat on the land, and then they made wine there, and they sold wine. And so Ravashi's answer was, meaning that now I have a different problem of Gzela. Amarle, Ara Lataska Mashabda, all the land belongs to the tax of the king. Umalkamar, what did the king say? Mandi, I've taska lecholara. Whoever pays the tax gets to use the land. That's something commonly we see in Babel. And therefore, they have the rights to the land according to the rule of the king, and that works, and therefore the wine is okay. Rapapa the Rava, so Rapapa asks his Rabbi, Chazi marhani rabbanan di avu zuze akarga de nasha mishavde buhutfei. So now this is sort of a tangent, because it's not relating to Rebeat, but about taxes. He said, I see that some of the students pay up somebody's tax, and then they make the people whose tax they paid work for them, and they make them work harder than the value that they paid. So it's not right. It was several times that we see students complain to the teachers about other students' behavior. Amar lehashta ichu shchiva lo amri lechu hamilta. So he is a sort of an idiom. Rava says, if I had died now, you never would have told me this. Meaning, I'm glad you still told me this before I died, so I would remember to tell everybody. And he told everybody, Hachim Rav Sheshet, Maharakayu Dahani Batafsa de Malkamanach. These people's slave ticket, as it were, sitting in the basket of the king, meaning their rights to independence or being enslaved, is sitting in the hands of the king. Umalkamar, what did the king say? Mandalu Yaiv Karga, Lishtabi the Manda Yaiv Karga. Whoever doesn't pay the karga, the property tax, is enslaved to the person who does pay it. Which means that, really these students have every right to, make the fellows work as much as they want them to work, like a slave. Now here we hear about a fellow we don't hear about otherwise. Rav Se'oram. Achua de Rav, he's Rav's brother. Have takif inshi de lomalu. He would grab people who were not behaving well, Jewish people who were not behaving properly. Umayalu begoharka de Rav. He would make them carry the sedan of Rav when he was brought out. Amrale Rava, Shaper Kavat, you're doing the right thing. The Tanina, we say, Ra'ita, She'inu Noe Kashura, if you see a Jew who's not behaving appropriately, Minayin Shatav Shari Shtavid, but how do we know you're allowed to make him work, or to enslave him, as it were? Tamalora Le'olam Bahem Tavodu Uva'achechem. Now, we're slicing up the Pasuk, look at the verse on the handout. We're slicing up the verse against Tamei Mikra, for purpose of Midrash, which we do all the time. So Le'olam, so the Mibnei HaToshavim, the Karim Chem, Le'olam Mehem Tavodu, the non-Jews who live in the land, you can work them. But Uva'achichem B'nei Yisrael, and the Vav Uva'achichem is a Vav HaNigud, adversative Vav, which says, but you may not make your brothers work. But the way we're darshaning it is, Uva'achichem, meaning you may make them work and your brothers. Right? Yachol, afilu reka shuram. I might think this applies even if the Jew is behaving appropriately. And then we read the pasuk correctly, and it's according to its Tamei Mikra. So he says the uvachechem spins both ways. Uvachechem attaches to the first part if they're not behaving appropriately. But if they're behaving appropriately, then it spins to the second part where you may not make them work. Amrav Chama Hai may not enslave them or make them do hard work. Rav Chama, Haimandu Yav Zuza Lachavre Lemizban Lechamra. So a fellow gave money to another fellow to go buy wine for him. Upasha Velo Zavin Le. The guy neglected, he blew it, and he didn't buy it. Meshalim Leke de Ka'azil Aparvata de Zolshvat. The negligent buyer has to go and pay his dispatcher, the fellow sent him, per the value of getting that kind of wine at the port in Zolshpat, which evidently had a huge wine market, and it could be that wine would be more expensive there. Amar Meimar, Amrita L'shmata Kamar Rav Zvid Mina Hardea. So Meimar said, I heard this from Rav Chama, and I shared it with Rav Zvid, who was one of the sons of the Nahardeans. Amar, and he said, Ki Kamar Rav Chama, what did Rav Chama say? This Hanimila B'yayin Stam, that's only if the guy says, go buy me some wine. The Yayin Zef, he says, get me an 80-20 Cabernet Merlot mix, or get me this particular brand, low. Why? Miyemer de Mazavni le Niele. Who says that the Shaliach could have even found it? And there's a wine stam you can get. Ravashi Marfili Yayin Stam Namilo. So Ravashi said, even if he just said, get me some wine, he still doesn't owe him more than the amount that he paid him. My Tam Asmachta, it's an Asmachta, meaning hopefully you'll find wine. Asmachta lo Kanya. It's a little strange to call this an Asmachta. We have a Mishnah later in the ninth parak where a sharecropper makes an agreement. He says, if I am movir, which means I leave the field fallow, and I don't work it, then I will pay X amount b'meitav. In other words, you have to pay for your negligence in not doing what you were dispatched to do per the loss to the owner. So the answer is hatam biyado, hachalav biyado. Because in the case of the sharecropper, it's up to you. You can work or not work. But here with the wine, it's not up to you. You could go to the marketplace and they'd be out of any wine, even a korvashi. Okay, Amarava. Hani beitlata diavi zuza lachad lemizban lehumidi. If three guys together gave money to one guy, and this is now a tangent, picking up from the issue of dispatching somebody to buy something and they don't buy it or buy it all. So three guys together give money to one fellow to go buy something. And he went, and he only bought, let's say, one third of the stuff, and he had in mind one guy. Zaman Lakulu. It turns out he doesn't help. He's bought for all three of them, and each of them gets a third or however much. That's only if each guy didn't bind up and seal his money separately. But if each guy put a separate bundle of money and sealed it and gave it to him, then whoever's money he used, he bought it for, and whoever's he didn't, and they're not mixed together. Last piece of this podcast, I'm a Papi Mishmei Deravid. I'm quoting Rava, but it's from Papi, one of his students. Hai Situmta Kanya. Situmta evidently means a siman, meaning it's a mark. And the example here is that if a wine seller would go and buy, a wine merchant would go and buy wine from a wholesaler, and the wholesaler has 1,000 barrels, and the wine merchant can't take more than 100 barrels at a time. He'll take 100, and the other 900 he'll put a stamp on indicating that he's bought them. But they're still sitting in the fellow's cellar. It's a valid kinyan. So the Mayhilchata, how valid of a kinyan is it? It's really yours. Right? Meaning that if it now goes vinegar, you've lost, and the seller is off the hook. No, it just means that there's a mishapara here, which means that if the wine owner then says, oh, I want more money, or I'm reneging, he's under the ban of mishapara. We rule like the less radical position. It's not a full kinyan, it's a kinyan of mishapara. But if there's a place where there's a minig where that you put if the place where the minig is that when you put the seal on, it is fully yours, then that indeed is a valid kinyan. Okay, I'll pick it up with the final podcast in this perek in the next one. In the meantime, you should have a wonderful day.